absolute power corrupts absolute.
Hello, everyone. It's summertime. And right now, you know what time it is. 10 a.m. on the East Coast. And you know, this is JT, a.k.a. the Master. And as always, this is the Master Plan. It's always a pleasure to jump on the airways and talk to you this fine, on a fine Sunday morning. And listen to some Cameo, for those who know who Cameo is, or for those who don't. Listen, and we'll be right back to start the show. To that a little later as I close the show, but for now, I'm glad you're listening to me. The number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220, and as always, it may sound corny, but this is what I say, is the place to be if you want to talk to me. We got a chat room for your convenience. If you'd like to lay your knowledge or ask a question or make a comment in that chat room, you can do so. Remember, and I always say this, remember, whatever you put in there, whatever tone that you bring, just be careful. All according to how I feel, if I bring that tone right back to you or whatever. But it's up to you. You be a responsible person and go in that chat room and do the responsible thing and be civil. That's how you're going to get your response back, your reply back, I should say. All right, as always, besides this, the number that you call in, this show was sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners play and players win. Go to that site. It's got different ways that you can make a wager on whatever's the sport that you like to make a wager on. And like I said, where winners play and players win. Go there and do your thing and get paid. That's all I got to tell you. You just go out there and get paid. It doesn't hurt. Take a chance. You never know. You never know, okay? If you play the lottery, it's just like playing the lottery. Just a little bit more expensive. I mean, you don't have to break the bank, even though there have been people that jumped in there with, deep pockets and come out with even deeper pockets. So you never know. Bet responsibly. Bet with your head, not over it. You've heard that saying before. All right, let's talk about this. I'm going to keep on rambling on about the site. Just go there and do your thing. A lot of things been going on this past week. A lot of speculation on where players are going to play the next NBA season, as in Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Pau Gasol, Kevin Love, and the list can go on and on. Oh, and I forgot one guy, didn't I? I named all those, but I really forgot one guy. And there has been a lot of speculation and a lot of talk, positive and negative, on the decision to. I'm talking about LeBron James, as if you didn't know, and how LeBron James and these other players were, in quotation marks, holding up the NBA. Because they in terms of those naysayers, weren't making their decision quick enough for their convenience. When there is no timetable, basically, and all these guys were keeping quiet, didn't really say anything at all, which was a good thing, because it can only get yourself in deeper water, and LeBron has learned that from the last time he made it with decision one, that you don't need to say anything. Take your time, go through the process, use your agent or you and your agent, go through these different teams, find out what their pitch is and what their vision is for the team in the future, and make the best decision for yourself and especially for your family. You know, your family's got to live for the most part, in whatever town that you play or city that you play in. Because you don't want, for the most part, you don't want your family to live in, say, such as in L.A., and you play in New Orleans or Charlotte. You play across the country. You want them to be in the same city so they can see you day in and day out, and it makes it convenient. And the only time you leave is when you go on a road trip, but you're coming back because half your game's home, half your game's away. So a lot of these, if you notice, a lot of these players, I don't say a lot of them, but the big players, real big players, and it's yet to be decided if one in particular, and I'll get to that, is going to stay home or if he's going to go home himself, go to another, his home roots, I should say, go home to his roots, I should say. But let's get back to the decision too. And before I read what LeBron said, because I want to read the letter to you people, it's for those who haven't heard it, and I got much more respect for LeBron now than I have ever had, and I got to hand it to him. But he could have gone back to Miami and taken a max deal, taking all the money and left a little for maybe if Chris Bosh decided to go back to Miami, which I kind of doubt he was going to do that. If LeBron came and took the max money, Chris Bosh was going to probably go elsewhere. But it was a domino effect. Some of these other guys. I can't say non-important guys, just guys that weren't on the level of Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, or LeBron James or Carmelo Anthony. excuse me. There's other guys that were taking nice deals and either staying at home or moving on. But let's talk about LeBron James first. First of all, he didn't say a word. He kept, and I hate to say it like this, but I'm gonna say it like this He kept his mouth shut, didn't say a word. Went through the process like all the other free agents. But this was the guy. Him and Carmelo were the guys that the whole NBA and the media were really had focus on. Where are these guys going? Are they going to stay home? Are they going to go somewhere else? Or in speculation of where they were going to go. Some guys had it right. Some guys had it right from the beginning. Some guys had it right, changed their mind, had it wrong. I'm talking about guys in the media. And I would have to think that from 2010 until now, LeBron finally got it right that you don't, the way he handled it the first time, he understood that wasn't the, that wasn't the right way. That was pretty much self-centered, and I would say a little immature at the time. And what more can I say than other than, let me read this letter, this long letter. But the words of, the, of this letter are, let me put it this way, the letter is very well done. Extremely, extremely well done. I got to hand it to LeBron James. A lot has happened in the last 4 years. He's realized that, and this is a classy letter. I'm going to read the whole letter to you that he had an exclusive interview or sit down or whatever from Sports Illustrated, and this is LeBron's letter to the city of Cleveland. Here we go. Before anyone ever cared where I would play basketball, I was a kid from Northeast Ohio. It's where I walked. It's where I ran. It's where I cried. It's where I bled. It holds a special place in my heart. People there have seen me grow up. I sometimes feel like I'm their son. Their passion can be overwhelming, but it drives me. I want to give them hope when I can. I want to inspire them when I can. My relationship with Northeast Ohio is bigger than basketball. I didn't realize that 4 years ago. I do now. Remember when I was sitting up at that boys club in 2010? I was thinking, this is really tough. I could feel it. It was leaving something I had spent a long time recreating. If I had to do it all over again, I'd obviously do things differently, but I still have left. Miami for me has almost been like college for other kids. These past 4 years helped raise me into who I am. I am a better player and a better man. I learned from a franchise that had been there where I wanted to go. I will always think of Miami as my second home. Without the experiences I had there, I wouldn't be able to do what I am doing today. I went to Miami because of D. Wade and CB, which is Chris Bosh. We made sacrifices to keep UD. I loved becoming a big brother to Rio. I believe we could do something magical if we came together. And that's exactly what we did. The hardest thing is to leave what I built with those guys. I've talked to some of them and will talk to others. Nothing will ever change what we accomplished. We are brothers for life. I always want to thank Mickey Arison and Pat Riley for giving me amazing 4 years. I'm doing this essay because I want an opportunity to explain myself uninterrupted. I don't want anyone thinking he and Eric Spoelstra didn't get along. He and Riles didn't get along. The Heat couldn't put the right team together. That's absolutely not true. I am not having a press conference or a party. After this, it's time to get work. When I left Cleveland, I was on a mission. I was seeking championships, and we won two. But Miami already knew that feeling. Our city hasn't had that feeling in a long, long, long time. My goal is to still win as many titles as possible, no question. But what's most important for me is bringing one trophy back to Northeast Ohio. I've always believed that I've returned to Cleveland and finished my career there. I just didn't know when. After the season, free agency wasn't even a thought. But I have two boys, and my wife, Savannah, is pregnant with a girl. I started thinking about what it would be like to raise my family in my hometown. I looked at other teams, but I wasn't going to leave Miami for anywhere else, anywhere except Cleveland. The more time passed, the more it felt right. This is what makes me happy. To make the move, I needed the support of my wife and my mom, who can be very tough. The letter from Dan Gilbert, the booing of the Cleveland fans, the jerseys being burned, seeing all that was hard for them. My emotion was more mixed. My emotions were more mixed. It was easy to say, okay, I don't want to deal with these people ever again. But then you think about the other side. What if I were a kid who looked up to an athlete, and that athlete made me want to do better in my own life, and then left? I react. I've met with Dan, meaning Dan Gilbert, face-to-face, man-to-man. We've talked it out. Everybody makes mistakes. I've made mistakes as well. Who am I to hold a grudge? I'm not promising a championship. I know how hard is that to deliver. We're not ready right now. No way. Of course, I want to win next year, but I'm realistic. It will be a long process, much longer than it was in 2010. My patience will get tested. I know that. I'm going into a situation with a young team and a new coach. I will be the old head. That's at 20, I think he's 28. That's amazing. But I get that. I'm just throwing that in there. Let me continue with the letter. But I get a thrill out of bringing a group together and helping them reach a place they didn't know they could go. I see myself as a mentor, I should say, now, and I'm excited to lead some of these talented young guys. I think it can help Kyrie Irving become one of the best point guards in our league. I think it can help elevate Tristan Thompson and Deion Waiters. And I can't wait to reunite with Anderson Varejao, one of my favorite teammates. But this is not about the roster or the organization. I feel my calling here goes above basketball. I have a responsibility to lead in more ways than one, and I take that very seriously. My presence can make a difference in Miami, but I think it can mean more where I'm from. I want kids in Northeast Ohio, like the hundreds of Akron third graders I sponsored through my foundation, to realize that there's no better place to grow up. Maybe some of them will come home after college and start a family or open a business. That would make me smile. Our community, which has struggled so much, needs all the talent it can get. In Northeast Ohio, nothing is given. Everything is earned. You work what you have. Excuse me, you work for what you have. I'm ready to accept the challenge. And finally, and I'm just going to say I'm finally in there, I'm coming home. Now, true words were never spoken in that letter. I think it's 965 words or whatever it is. And that's why the song I brought in, Word Up, because you have to think. And he just admitted that he made a mistake in the way he handled it, and it was pretty much self-serving of what he did. In 2010 with Jim Gray making the announcement of the decision and all the fallout, burning jerseys, and the owner lambasting him on publicly with a letter he put on the webpage, that you can see the growth and the absolute maturity level that. And he learned from his mistakes. You don't have to have a public statement. You just go quietly about your business, do your due diligence, see where you want to, where you best your family would be more comfortable. Because let me put it this way. And for those who are married, know what I'm talking about. Happy wife, happy life. Trust me. So if your wife is happy, your family's going to be happy. And everything else for you is going to fall in place. Trust me. A man being married for over 30 years, there's no doubt in my mind. You got a happy wife, you got a happy life. Things just fall in place after that. So he wanted to make sure his mother, because his mother, him and his mother are extremely close, and quite naturally, his wife of two, soon to be three kids, wanted to be comfortable, and he had to consult both of them, because I imagine his mother has very close ties and could be living with him, or I don't know the arrangement, but he wanted to get as much feedback from the two closest females in his life as he could possibly get before he made his final decision. And he didn't take it and put it on the air. And so I got to hand it to him. I'm not a big LeBron James fan, but this was a class act, in my opinion. The letter was it really blew me away on the content, and I could feel that he was sincere about it because, from what I understand, LeBron James is a very frugal guy and a very down-to-earth guy, not a guy that goes out and he can go out and do anything he wants and buy anything he wants, and he doesn't do that. He just does the bare minimum for everyone in his immediate circle, especially his wife and mother, to be comfortable and not do like, and I'm not blame-basing some of these, but some of these guys, because they have the money, buy Ferraris and Lamborghinis and huge houses and boats and whatever else. Mr. LeBron James doesn't do that. So he's a homebody. Maybe that's why he's got his third kid's coming on the way. Anyway, I got to hand it to him. I'm wishing him to do well in Cleveland. Let me bring in my esteemed Mr. FSP, who's out on a mission. And I'm surprised he's dusted himself off and is able to call me. What's up, my man?
Oh, nothing. I just wanted to land base you a little bit. Of course,
uh-oh.
Yesterday there was no show, of course.
What?
Yeah, no show yesterday. I checked.
Stop!
I'm serious.
I made sure I saved it and everything. Wow, really?
Yeah. It didn't go off. I think you might have to go back to the original way that we did it, like set it as the intro.
Oh, okay.
Call in and then hang up once it goes
off.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying. Because I made sure, I think the last time I did it, not this past time, I may not have saved it once I loaded it, but I made sure I specifically saved the show, and I don't know. Anyway. How you doing? I'm sorry, man.
It's all right. I mean, your old timers is kicking in. It's okay. I think my cousin called in because it looked like two people called in. I don't know if he called twice or not. But
okay.
Anyway, just getting on. What, Paul Pierce has become a wizard? That's what I'm talking about.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want to go there yet. That's part of what I want to talk about. I just want to talk about what you just heard me talk about for the last almost 5 minutes, but it's been longer than that. Mr. LeBron James and your thoughts. First of all, your thoughts on him and his letter, and how he went about making his announcement, and after that, him going back to Cleveland. Give me your thoughts on both those.
I didn't read the letter. I found out that he was going back to Cleveland when we were on our way to go get some vehicles. But if you recall, a couple Saturdays ago, we talked about this, how my friend, the guy, Buckeye, living in a hole, said that this is the methodology that Cleveland was going to use, and we talked about it. And you said you couldn't see it. And now it's happening. He has a 2-year deal. He can opt out after the second year. I mean, it's a long-term deal, but he has the option of opting out within a year or two. And what that signals to me is he's going to give Cleveland an opportunity. If they can't trade for Kevin Love becomes a free agent next year. So you get Kevin Love either this year or next year. You keep Jermaine Wiggins if you don't, get Love this year, and you build that team up. They'll make the playoffs this year. Will they win it? I don't know. But without Love, I think they're at least a conference finals team. Now, who will they play? Will it be the Bulls because they just got Pau Gasol? I don't know. You know, when you look at the landscape of the East, I think LeBron should have gone out west. I'm going to be honest. I think he should have gone out west, maybe not to the Lakers, but to a different team. I'm also surprised that Bosh stayed in Miami. Obviously, he stayed in Miami because they gave him a lot more money than he could have gotten in Houston. In Houston, he could have actually been contending again for another championship, but it didn't happen. So all this happens just because LeBron decides to go back to Cleveland. And I know you just want to talk about that part, but his move precipitated a whole bunch of different moves. Just like with Bosh going out to
long hours, huh?
Not really, just a comfortable bed. So that's just like having Pierce go down to D.C. I didn't see that coming. I really didn't. Even though Pierce is older, he's still another scoring threat. And that's what people are doing. They're loading up because of what Miami did. Miami had weapons. Now LeBron has gone to Cleveland. He's making them a bigger contender. So teams are going to load up with weapons. And, you know, I know you don't want to talk about it just yet, so I'll let you do it when you're ready. But I'm going to explain the correlation for these different teams once you get there.
Well, let's talk about this for a minute. When you're saying they're loading up, I don't consider them loading up. I think they're just putting in pieces in place that to fill a void in one particular position. Like Pau Gasol, now they're going to have dual towers in Chicago with Joakim Noah, that's going to be a formidable front line right there. With him, Joakim Noah and Pau Gasol. And down in D.C., you have to think now, down in D.C., just like Paul Pierce went to New Jersey, and him and Kevin Garnett, New Jersey, and I've said this to New Jersey Nets fans to their face, lacked heart, and they still lack heart, and mental toughness is a big problem with the New Jersey team, especially in my opinion, Deron Williams. I think he's a great player, but I don't think he's got a lot of heart, and I think he's a soft player. Anyway. And that's one of the reasons why they got Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce for that particular reason, for the mental toughness, especially if they get in the playoffs, and for their playoff experience. So when you say that you were surprised to see Paul Pierce go down to the Wizards, I'm not surprised about that move because the fact is they got a young team and a team that doesn't have playoff experience and the playoff, I would say toughness, but need some type of old head, and I have to put Paul Pierce in that, an old head in the locker room to help guide these guys other than what the coach can do. So I think that's an excellent move for Paul Pierce, and I don't know how much he's going to play, but he's still a viable catch-and-shoot type of guy. He's not a big drive guy anyway. He's more of a catch-and-shoot guy, and he can provide that leadership in the locker room and on the court. So I think that's a good mix to go into the Wizards and what they have. And I think, like I said, Pau Gasol is a good move. The one that really surprised me, Victor, this one really surprised me. And I, you know, I don't like this guy, and I think he's one of the softest big men around. Is Chris Bosh getting $118 million from the Miami Heat. It's like,
well,
you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
JT, I'm about to explain it to you.
Go ahead.
Why
break it down.
You have a master plan, but I am the master.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to take you back a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. We've got things going on in all places. I go back to Chicago. Chicago
mm-hmm.
now has Paul Gasol, Joakim Noah, Carlos Boozer, Rose, PJ, not PJ, old boy that was doing well off the bench. I forgot his name during the playoffs, but he plays power forward as well.
Right.
You've got Rose coming back, and you can mix in Heinrich or whoever you want at the shooting guard. They're
mm-hmm.
powerhouse now, so they've loaded up, okay? You go to D.C. D.C. already has Nene, Gortat, John Wall, Bradley Beal. You add Paul Pierce, as you said, that experience and that somewhat supposedly nasty attitude. They lost Trevor Ariza, which is fine because Trevor was a sixth man anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good shooter. He was a streaky shooter.
Streaky, very.
Yeah, so, you know, that's fine. I'll take Paul Pierce. He can give me 10-10 with Nene pounding the boards and Gortat pounding the boards and Bill and Wall doing that thing. Plus, they drafted a pretty good backup point guard out of Baylor. So they're somewhat loaded up. They're younger and loaded. They're younger and loaded. You go
yes.
to Miami. Why did they pay Bosch $118 million? Okay. You lose out on LeBron. So in order to keep some form of power in that conference, you got to keep one of those people. And you think Wade may or may not come back. So we'll see what happens there. But you got Danny Granger, you got Bosch, and you have, I forgot, old boy. I think it was a power forward, if I'm not mistaken. And then you try to rebuild from there. They're in a rebuilding stage. So you can afford to give Chris Bosh $118 million because he has name recognition in the organization within the NBA as well. Everybody knows that he isn't the star, but he doesn't have to share the ball as much anymore. He doesn't have to share the ball as much anymore, and Mario Chalmers can give him the ball and let him do what he did up in Toronto. Now, is he a bona fide star by himself? No. But he's a pretty good star, and he can do a lot of things differently than when he had LeBron James there.
$118 million.
But listen, guys.
I'm listening.
I understand. I'm trying to tell you that they're trying to keep some type of name recognition down there and some type of leadership that they have from the previous team because you don't know if Dwayne Wade's going to come back. You just don't know. But
let me ask you this before you go to – let me ask you this. Answer me if this makes any sense or not. Paul Gasol could have taken more money if he went back to L.A. He decided to go
yep.
to Chicago. He decided to go to Chicago. My question is this. And I know how I feel, but I'm going to ask you this. If you had a choice between Chris Bosh and Paul Gasol, who would you take?
I'll take Paul Gasol. However, if I'm the player, let's go that route. If I'm the player, what would I do? I would do what Chris Bosh did, mainly because I already have two or three rings. I didn't get max money because I came to a team and it took the least amount of money. Now it's my time to take max money. So Paul Gasol goes to Chicago, takes less money, but he has a better opportunity to get a ring. He has a better opportunity to get a ring because I believe he didn't get one when he was in L.A. with Kobe. So he's looking for that ring. He'll take less money to get that ring. Once he gets one or two rings, then it becomes, well, he's a little older, but then it becomes, well, you know what, let me maximize my opportunity here and get as much money as possible. And that's where that goes.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get your opinion because I just want to play devil's advocate. I know who I would take, and I'm surprised that Miami didn't go after Pau Gasol. Because he has definitely had playoff experience, and I thought he won a championship with Kobe, but I could be wrong.
Jerry, the question is, you go after Pau Gasol, but what do you have to surround him? You don't have much to surround him in Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, well, you're right about that. In Chicago, he's got Joakim Noah. He's got, Tyquan Underwood or whatever his name is. That guy. And from what I understand, that Carlos Boozer is probably going to be a casualty and probably going to, and I forget what the phrase is, but more or less just phased out of the Chicago lineup because of the signing of Pau Gasol. So, I didn't think too much of Carlos Boozer anyway. He seems like he shrinks in under pressure. So he can play fast and loose when it's a fast and loose game, but if it's a pressure type of game, too many times I've seen him shrink up at instead of him being, 6'8", 6'9", somewhere around there, he plays like he's 5'2", so in a pressure situation.
You mean,
so.
You mean like when I bring up a bet for the Jaguars? With
there'll be other opportunities. You're just going to dwell on that one opportunity that you think you had, and I didn't kowtow to your lambasting of me, and you're still going to try me to see if I'm going to hit a weak point and say, yeah, let's make that bet, and it's not going to happen. Remember, I'm almost twice your age.
And that would give you the benefit of wisdom and knowledge that you do not have when it comes to me. So therefore, I really believe that you are afraid. I'm not going to say you're going to, land-based
I'm not afraid. Trust me, okay. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of Mr. FSP. To have to take a wager with Mr. FSP. It's proven because I've taken one already with you. And I've got written it down in the book. So I'm not afraid. I am smart enough to not take that wager because the odds are not in my favor, I feel. So why take it something that I know is a losing proposition? It doesn't make any sense. That I would be a fool to do that. So, no.
Well, go ahead. No matter
what you say, that's not going to happen. I want to talk – and the other guy and let's get back to Cleveland. The other guy, besides Deion Waiters, besides Kyrie Irving, who I really like as a point guard, and I think these two guys, LeBron and Kyrie, are going to explode big time. He goes back to see his old boy, Anderson Varejao, who's a steady guy, and then Tristan Thompson, who's all these guys. Imagine LeBron, was he 29 years old, something like that, and he's the old guy on the team. He's the old guy on the team, and he's got two rings, and he's the biggest player recognition-wise. Let me put it that way. He's the biggest player recognition-wise. He may not be the best player, but he's the biggest player recognition-wise on the team. And he's 28, and all these younger guys, these guys are younger than him, and he's the old head, Ed Oldhead, coming back to Cleveland. And he's got another guy, Andrew Wiggins, that just got drafted, and he showed out in the summer league since he's been playing. and LeBron with a brand new coach. Now imagine they have huge upside here, huge upside. And if you read the letter, Vic, it's one of the classiest letters I ever read from a pro athlete of any sport. Classiest letters, one of the classiest letters I ever seen. And whether one of the truthful, and you can absolutely understand and feel that this guy was saying this from the heart. It's not just saying it just as a PR move. And I'm pushing for Cleveland. I'm not a Cleveland Cavalier fan, but the way he the letter was laid out. And the way it was no fanfare, meaning he didn't go through what he went through 4 years ago. And a lot of these guys, if you notice, a lot of these guys kept quiet, went about and did their thing, going about whoever they wanted to go, the teams they wanted to go see. Didn't say a whole lot, went about their business, and then just like LeBron James, and pretty much was a surprise when the letter came out and the announcement came out that he was going to Cleveland. Pretty much just came out. It wasn't like a big press conference, I'm going here. And for the most part, it's handled like it was handled with countless other free agents versus trying to single himself out as like he did 4 years ago. And he learned a lot. You have to read the letter. I don't know if you have any access to the internet. I can send you the link, and then you can read the letter for yourself.
I'm going to read it later on today when I get a little free time. But, you know, he has matured. He's more of a businessman. I heard one commentator say that one of his goals is to be an NBA owner.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, he's going to make some smart moves. He has to learn how to make smart moves. And I wouldn't blame him for, taking max deals and getting in and out, and winning, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to win. He doesn't want to just survive or be in the NBA. He wants to win in the NBA and get as much money as possible.
All right. Now, I want to transition because I want to get off the NBA because this other article that I have here really bothers me. It really ticked me off. And the organization, especially the owner, had a lot of nerve. And I think when I said that, you may know what I'm going to allude to. I'm going to Indianapolis, and specifically the Indianapolis Colts, and specifically the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, Mr. Jim Irsay, who, let's not talk about the $29,000 in cash that he had. Let's not talk about all the prescription drugs that he had in a bag. Let's not talk about him being either drunk or high on those prescription drugs. And getting arrested for a DWI. Let's not talk about the NFL not doing anything up until this point of fining or suspending Jim Irsay, him being an owner, him supposedly being able to set the standard. Let's talk about this. Levon Brazil, one of the wide receivers in Indianapolis, and I know he's not a big name, but the point I'm making is this. Suspended for substance abuse and released by Jim Irsay's Colts. And one could guess that Colts receiver Levon Brazil, after being suspended 4 games last year indefinitely this year for repeated violations, the NFL substance abuse policy might have a problem. But at least he was with a franchise whose owner, Jim Irsay, knew about substance abuse problems and was open to his own struggles. Ursay was arrested, and like I said, he was arrested on all those items I told you about. And he spoke candidly with his Indianapolis Star in June about the stigma of addiction and how it should be treated as the disease. That's what made Brazil's release on Friday a bit strange. The message from the cult seemed to be that they wouldn't tolerate someone like Brazil who got in trouble multiple times for drugs. The argument can be made that the two situations aren't related. Brazil can't help the team on the field if he's suspended, and the Colts have to do what's best for the football team. In many ways, anything can happen with the owner off the field has nothing to do with a player being suspended indefinitely and not being able to show he can stay out of trouble. Still, it's a bad look from an owner who publicly was trying to explain how difficult addiction can be just a month ago. It just seems a bit disingenuous to move so harshly on someone who might have a substance abuse problem after the owner spoke at length about people needing to be more understanding about addiction as a disease. It looks like a double standard. This is a quote. It takes courage to try and to overcome the difficulties you have. For some reason, it's seen as unheroic. When someone beats cancer, it's like, wow, that's so heroic. But when someone has this illness, it's treated like you're a leper because that person is morally corrupt, and that's not the case. It's an ongoing thing in one's life when recovering from any disease. The disease never sleeps, so you have to be proactive when dealing with it. That is a quote from Jim Irsay. And LeVon Brazil, I know he's a player. Jim Irsay is the owner. But who better to know about the problems of addiction or substance abuse than one that has gone through it multiple, and I'm not saying one time, multiple times, with this one last time being a huge problem because of the amount of money, cash money was found, and the amount of drugs that were found in his possession besides him being intoxicated or high or whatever. Vic, I'm at a loss for words because the fact is this is such BS. I can't believe that they got a player that's got an obvious problem. They have an owner that knows about that problem because he's experienced it firsthand for himself multiple times. It's not like one single time. I'm repeating myself. You would think this guy would say, you know what? Don't release this guy. We got to work with him because I know how this feels. I know how deep this can go.
Well,
but
Jerry,
yet no, they released this guy. Give me your thoughts. I'm pissed off about this one.
I'm about to give you some thoughts real quick. I think it has something to do with the fact that the NFL is now being investigated by the DEA for the distribution of painkillers. I honestly think that's what it boils down to. Now, listen. You know, anybody can just look up what Jim Irsay has done or has been arrested for. He's a billionaire, owner of a football team, an organization that protects its own, and we understand that. And I think because of this investigation that the DEA has just launched into the NFL, played somewhat of a role. And I posted this on my Facebook page as well. I think it's very hypocritical of the Colts to do this. Yes, this is his second strike, I believe. Bring him back for his third strike. If he has his third strike, then fine. Part ways with him. But being more understanding, getting the guy help and stuff like that is better than cutting him, meaning now if he does need treatment, he has to do it on his own because
right.
The organization isn't going to front the bill for it. And that's the part that kind of bugs me because Thursday gets, you know, he can go to a treatment facility. He can pay for it. He has money. The NFL supports him, da-da-da-da-da. But this kid, who's pretty much a no-name, I think he caught, like, what, 3 or 4 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
But he made the league minimum, which isn't nothing. But with these kids, you know that they're not saving all their money.
Right.
So I don't know what he's going to fall back on. I don't know what he's going to do. he's going to have to stay in shape because somebody else might give him an opportunity because he has some talent, but he isn't like a Josh Gordon. And Josh
right.
Gordon, he's going to get an opportunity when he comes back. He might not be with the Browns, but somebody's going to give him an opportunity because he's a Chris Carter story. All this talent, and, you know, what's going to happen to him? Somebody's going to give him an opportunity, and then he's going to straighten up and become a Hall of Famer, probably. Brazil isn't in that category. He's one of these, well, is he going to be a knucklehead, or is he going to, you know, fix himself? But the Colts aren't giving him that third opportunity to make a mistake. I think it is hypocritical. I think it's something that needs to be examined, but I also think that it's because the DEA has got this investigation. And, you know, Jim Irsay is going to be one of those people on top of the list because he is or was under the influence of alcohol and prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how did he get his scripts? I mean, he's rich enough to get them from a private doc. He doesn't need to get them prescribed from the team physician. But who knows? I don't know. I don't know. I just know that this is a bad situation or a bad, I don't want to say look, but it's a bad visual for the casual fan.
It's a bad PR move. It's bad, in my opinion, it's a bad PR move. I mean, how can you do it? You got an owner. And every time I talk about this, it really ticks me off. You got an owner. And I know he's the owner, okay? But you got an owner. That, and this is not the first time, this is multiple times that he's going through rehab, supposed rehab. His rehab this past time was really, really a joke. But he went through rehab. Suppose he was clean for quite a while. Who knows how long he's been back off the wagon, and he finally gets busted. But it's been multiple times because he's had ongoing problems like this over the years. Of prescription drugs and intoxication or whatever. And who better to know what how it feels and the things that go through than the one that's actually going through it. And it's the top man in the organization. And they let him go? I mean, I can't believe that because of the DEA investigation that it would be that, because the fact is that's about painkillers, and this wasn't about painkillers. This was substance abuse of a different kind other than painkillers.
But it's still a substance abusing situation, and that's what I'm getting to. That, you know, let me ask you this. The NBA, NFL, yeah. NHL, whatever, or
mm-hmm.
just regular business. If you know that there's a probe going on about your company and it involves any type of abuse or prescription drugs or whatever, you're going to try to get rid of every type of thing that's going to bring more scrutiny. Okay, I'm saying that if you're going to go ahead and investigate me for painkillers, who's to say you won't find that somebody's been doing weed, that we have a weed problem during this investigation? Who's to say you're not going to find somebody with an alcoholism problem, and it's a widespread problem? So now that launches another investigation. So I understand the move. I disagree with the move. But if this is one of the reasons, yeah, I can see it. But go ahead.
Your thought process is flawed for the simple reason, just because this guy got busted doesn't mean that the others in the organization don't have issues also. So in my opinion is this, right now you release this guy. So this guy's a wild card now. So anything that he wants to say about the organization, he can, because he's not within the organization. The move for me would be to try to get this guy some help and keep him within the organization. That way you have a rein on what he says versus not having any kind of control of what he says when you release him. If you have him within the umbrella of the organization, at least you have him within the umbrella of the organization, and you have a better chance of controlling what comes out of his mouth. So so when you release a guy, he, right then he there's the animosity. So he this guy could blow the whistle on a lot of excuse my language, SH, and you know what the rest of it is. So in my opinion, this is a dumb move if you go that route in saying that because of a DEA investigation. Because the fact is now this guy is an open book. He's an open book now versus where you had a you were able to control the pages within the book if you had him within the organization. So I understand what you're saying, but if I had the choice of letting this guy go, if I had an investigation coming, if I had a choice of I knew this guy has a substance abuse problem, and do I want to let him go or try to get him help, and with that help, he's going to show allegiance to the organization to keep his mouth shut, I would have him within the organization so he can keep his mouth shut, not push him out the door, and now he's going to be pissed off and say, oh, well, they got rid of me, I'll show them. And he won't be the first, he won't be the last player to get pissed off in an organization and open his mouth about the bad stuff that's been going on. Okay. Well, we got like 3 minutes left in the show. We got a long 2 weeks, people. 2 weeks in the fantasy football matchup this week I have. I'm tied up at 9-9. Excuse me?
Fantasy baseball. Your fantasy baseball, not football.
Fantasy football is fantasy baseball right now. Fantasy football is becoming.
But you just said football.
Did I say football? I'm sorry, fantasy baseball. That's what I meant to say. Thank you, Victor. I appreciate it.
Alzheimer's.
Anyway, yes, we're talking about fantasy baseball. And right now, because of the All-Star break, which happens, the All-Star game is on Tuesday, July 15th. This time in Yahoo, the whoever's the matchup, and I matched up with Halifax Hurlers, who happens to be in fifth place, and I happen to be in ninth. We're all tied up right now, and I think over the next few weeks, that's how we're going to be going. We're going to be head to head and tooth and nail, and pretty much one or two. Categories is going to win this. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like happened over the last 2 weeks. And so it's very crucial in making the right moves. One of the hardest categories to get in fantasy baseball, one of the categories is the holes, meaning a relief pitcher with the team in the lead. Going into the later innings, the sixth inning, brings in a reliever to hold the lead until they get to the closer in the ninth inning, and that's exactly what a hold is. One of the hardest categories to get is a hold. Because you don't know when the guy's going to get used, and all the whole predicates on the team having a lead at the time the guy gets into the game. So you have to get a player. We got 60 seconds left in the show. We're going to go over a little over, and then we're going to close the show out. But I want to get this point out on holds. So you don't know how often this guy's going to get used. And when it's going to benefit you when his team is in the lead and the closer is able to close out the game. Because if the closer blows the save, he really blows the save and he blows the hold also. So it's one of the hardest categories out of all the categories Mr. FSP has put in place. This is the hardest category to get a point from. Do you agree with that, Mr. FSP?
I surely do, and that's why I drafted one or two people but needs in other positions, I've had to drop a few of my relief pitchers that were strong hold folks. You could actually win that category with one hold because it's so difficult to win.
Yes.
And that's something that is interesting to me because I don't mind doing it. I don't mind surfing the waiver wire for it. But it's just when you have a guy that has maybe two or three people with holds, he can drop that player after he gets the holds and keep moving because he's going to win that category, you know? So.
Yes. And I've been surfing. I'm going to pick up a guy today that I truly believe that's going to benefit from me. It's from a, I wouldn't say nondescript team, but the team is a little hot right now, so I think I can have a good shot. I tried one guy, and the team that was playing well, it must be my jinx, because the team that was playing well has lost like four or five games in a row now. And so quite naturally, that guy hasn't had a chance. Even though he may have been in the game, he hasn't been in the game when the team's had a lead and was able to get a hold. So I'm going to drop him and pick up another guy and see if I can get at least one hold to try to win that category, because that is one of the worst, I wouldn't say worst, one of the hardest categories to get to get a point with. With that being said, I'm in ninth place. Vic is in eighth, right above me. He looks like he may. Let me see where he's at right now. See if he's going to.
It's close.
Oh yeah. Well, he's got seven. The other guy's got 11. I'm dead heat with this guy right now. 9-9 with the Halifax Hurlers. It could go either way. I imagine Vic, and I didn't look at his matchup, but I imagine that can go either way too. I tell you one guy, Victor, that is feeling the panic, and he dropped from first to fourth now, and that's your boy Hakuna Tejada. I think he's feeling the pressure because he's looking to bail on whoever he has trying to get a trade going to anybody. Your boy Andrew is looking like he's in a panic mode right now. So
he is. He sees that he needs to make some changes.
So I see how much of a panic mode he's in because I sent him a trade or two and see what if he's going to go for it or not. He probably won't.
Yeah, typical lowballing.
No, I never lowball anybody. I never ever lowball anybody.
Okay.
I'm not like some people I know, Victor, that lowball people. I never lowball anybody. I try to put out fair trades that even Steven. Well, no, because some of the trades I've had with you, you've got. In your eyes, you've gotten the better of the trade. So I'm not afraid. That's the difference between you and me. And I keep telling you that. That's the difference between you and me. You don't want to take the chance on somebody perhaps getting, in their eyes, the better of the trade to get what you want. You want to, and I can't say rip off somebody, but you want to get the better of the trade and feel you can get the better of the trade, and that's fine. If I get who I want, it won't bother me because there's always pieces. I'm always one step ahead of you. Let me put it that way.
It's all right. Keep your master plan. Keep your master plan.
I'm always one step ahead of you. If I give up this person, I got a contingency plan who I can pick up that gives me somebody close enough to not hurt as much as you think it would. So, but that's okay. That's all right because I'm more of a risk taker than you are. But that's all right. That's all right.
That's fine. You can be a risk taker. I don't need to be. I'm a motivator. I'm an
interviewer. Oh, please. Oh, God. All right, Mr. Sandman.
Mr. who?
Mr. Sandman. That's your nickname now. Victor the Sandman Gardner.
Oh, Lord, really? I'll be that.
You playing in the sand, huh?
It's okay, because I'm better than most.
Oh, you're a better Sandman than both. Is that what you're telling me?
Whatever. I'm better than you.
Anyway, we'll go a little overtime. Victor, give me your words of wisdom before I can get out of here.
Words of wisdom. Let's see.
Yes.
Mr. FSP says that Jerry Taylor is a good man. He's just flawed. He's flawed in the fact that his age has begun to stop him from doing basic things. But he's a wise man. He's a man of impeccable character. Just a little weird. But when it comes to the world of sports and entertainment and information, he can provide that. He's good at that. That's why he's the man. So when I go to Las Vegas on the 24th and I place a wager and I hit big time, I'm going to send him a pay prop for like 10 bucks because that's all he's going to get. But
Are you still going to Las Vegas?
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. I got people with me that want to go, so.
Are you
I'm
serious?
Not paying for it. We're that close. We're close. So anyway, I say this to say, when I'm in Vegas, and if I do hit big, I do get an opportunity to do a draft in Vegas. I'm going to make him my co-owner of my team, and I'll let him share in the spoils of the riches when I win, because it's very, very important that I show appreciation for the old guy. I don't want to, get Alzheimer's or something like that and forget that, I am the man and he is the squire,
Oh, my God.
I'm Lord Tyrion, and he's young Pod. Because this Game of Thrones that FSP's on, nonstop, killing them all, don't care, because it's Mr. FSP to you and everybody else out there. And I'm going to cut it off by saying I invite everyone to join one of our leagues. The Yahoo League is missing last year's champion. I don't know if he's coming back. If he does come back, great. If not, then, oh well, he's got to find somebody to replace him.
Well, what's the deal with him?
I don't know. I've reached out. He hasn't replied back, so I don't know. But I got space for him, for somebody else. And ESPN, I'm waiting for everybody to give me some type of feedback to let me know. They're in or out. I'm going to constantly fill, and once I get people to pay, that's who's going to stay. So I invite you all to come out and take part in our fun and friendliness. Hopefully you'll enjoy the leagues, and I'll let Jerry talk about it because this is his show. But that's all I got, JT.
If anybody wants to join, whether it's Yahoo or ESPN, and you want to test your knowledge and experience and your smack talk abilities in any one of our leagues, like I said, either Yahoo or ESPN, email me, JT.
Hold on. Or you can play the commercial just before we go off the air. If they don't want to email you, just play the commercial. They can do it that route too.
What commercial is that, Vic?
Team commercial.
Oh, let me see if that's a team commercial.
But go ahead.
Yes. Let me play this commercial, and then I'll give you the email address to go to.
So you think you know something about fantasy sports, huh? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Would you be willing to go head-to-head against some of the best minds in fantasy sports, like the FSP crew, The Master, Black, Jeff the Joker, and others? Well, for a limited time, you can acquire your own fantasy team. That's right, you can own a fantasy football, baseball, or basketball team and beat the host of Fantasy Sports and Politics at their own game. For more information, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. That's fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com.
Or if you would like to email me directly and say, put me in, coach, my email address is J as in the letter J, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 342@comcast.net. Say that again. It's J as in the letter J, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 342@comcast.net. Tell me which one you want to get into, whether it's Yahoo or ESPN. I'll forward it to Mr. FSP, who happens to be the commissioner of both those leagues, and we'll send you an invite, and we'll go from there. And it, along with that email, why don't you send us your experience in fantasy, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football. Quite naturally, this is fantasy football we're talking about, so if you have experience, send that along in your email, and then we'll go from there. All right, Vic, let's get it out of here.
Okay.
Victor?
I'm here. For JT, Mr. FSP, and all of us on Fantasy Sports and Politics and Spot On Radio, you've been listening to The Master Plan, and it's time to get out of here. Let's go.